I invite you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. You know, there is a sentence in the book of Proverbs that I'm thinking about in these moments as our service winds to a close, and that is where Solomon said, "Man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps." Think about that. We think, we pray, we prepare, we make our plans, believing we're led by the Lord, but He's so sovereign and He's so gracious that He can step right in and change the plans and say, "Now trust me." Ever been there? I find myself exactly there. I have a really good sermon this morning. Come hear it next week. I want to honor the time that the graduates are going to have after church. And John has so wonderfully led us in, especially toward the end, in thinking about the gospel, that I thought to myself, I had a plan. Let's let the Lord direct the path and preach the gospel instead. That's just a nice way of saying, I'm going to take about 10 minutes and preach off the cuff. Is that okay? Let's honor the gospel, please. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is this incredible promise. And here is what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, Ben, that's how you pull a verse out of your head. Every now and then, the old guy's got to take a shot. So the first verse reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And the last verse of Romans 8 reads, "For nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." That comes 39 verses later. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus." And at the end, nothing can separate us from the love of God the Father that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. At the beginning, no condemnation. At the end, no separation. That's gospel hope. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the freeness of grace. But it will only be the gospel and it will only be grace if we understand that there exists the possibility of condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who belong to Jesus Christ, but let's be assured, there is condemnation. You remember that famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We believe that. God, in His love for lost humanity, has sent His Son to bear the brunt of justice that we might know His eternal love and be rescued from eternal perishing. What we sometimes forget in that same monologue, Jesus is telling us that it's the love of God that rescues us from, and He uses the word, condemnation. In that same chapter. And He also paints a rather terrifying picture that without Jesus, there does in fact hang over our heads the just sentence of condemnation. And condemnation is just another way of talking about the wrath of God. Sometimes people will say, "You know, the only thing that I want from God is that He be fair with me." No, you don't. Because the scriptures say the judge of all the earth will do right, which is another way of saying the judge always renders righteous verdicts. And if He's just toward us, if He's fair with us, if we are held in full accountability for our sin, there is for us condemnation. It just comes to my mind that early on in the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 5, we have this verse. But because of your hard and impenitent hearts, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when the righteous judge will be revealed. Meaning there is fixed on God's calendar a day when the righteous judgment of God is made manifest and the just sentence of condemnation will fall. One of the most loving things a minister can ever say to someone outside of Jesus, one of the most compassionate sentences a believer can utter to an unbeliever is this truth: without Jesus Christ, my dear friend, you are under condemnation. And the Bible says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a righteous God. But notice the promise here. There is now, draw a circle around that word. There is now, right this moment, at this very hour, in your present experience, there is now no condemnation, none whatsoever. It has ceased to exist for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Now that's the gospel. You remember one day Jesus, when he's talking to a group of his disciples, he says to them, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And the idea behind the language there is, and they're on permanent record there. Rejoice that the sentence of condemnation has been taken away forever. Your name is permanently recorded. You belong there because your Savior belongs there. And not because you've been good enough, or kind enough, or generous enough, or compassionate enough, but because of Jesus. You remember what Jesus' name means? It means Jehovah saves. You remember on the first page of the New Testament, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins, and His name is Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. That's who He is. God with us, come into our world to fulfill the meaning of His name, to save us from condemnation, to save us from our sins. On the first page of the New Testament, there is this good word: Jesus has come to save. So Romans 1 is a promise. Romans 8 verse 1 is a promise. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ or belong to Christ Jesus, because His very name means He's the Savior. And then you go to the last part of the chapter. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you just love to hear people talk about the love of God? We sang about it earlier, didn't we? How deep is the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure, so great is the love of God. But sometimes I think we presume upon the love of God. We somehow, I think some of us sometimes are guilty of thinking, well, the love of God is sort of a gooey emotion, a sort of puppy love. Or, the love of God, of course He loves us. We are His creatures, and at least for most of us, we're really quite lovable. He owes us His love. No. For when we sing in our Christian liturgy, "Amazing love, how can it be?" Do you hear? He's just... How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? The love of God is an amazing thing, and its amazement is wrapped up in the theological rootedness of the fact that we actually don't deserve it. But we deserve condemnation instead. Oh, do you know what the love of God is? The love of God is Jesus on the cross. And there on the cross, while He's suspended between heaven and earth, all of the mass of human sin is imputed onto Jesus. It's put onto Jesus so that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that He is all of our lust and all of our covetousness and all of our pride and all of our vainglory seeking, and all the mass of all of our sin is on Jesus. And the Bible says, He who had no sin became sin. And in those moments, the vilest sinner that had ever lived was Jesus with our imputed sin upon Himself. And God gives Him what in our place? Condemnation. The justice of God. The wrath of God is poured out on Him. It is spent on Him. It is exhausted on Him. And because He is in our place as our substitute, absorbing the justice due us, God looks at believers and diverts His justice from us forever. So rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know why I claim those promises? You know, one day Mitchell Gregory is going to stand in front of Jesus. And I don't think Jesus will ask this question, but if He does, Mitchell, why should I let you into heaven? I'm going to say, well, I preached a lot of good sermons for you. Well, that's terrible. Or, hey, I tried hard enough to be good enough. Well, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. Jesus, there's only one reason. You. The wrath of God has already been satisfied on you in my place. And so I may break out in song, because in heaven I'll be able to sing like John Roberts. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain die, wash me, Savior, or I die. It's all because of Jesus. Nothing, no one, no person, no plan, no outcome, no danger can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm thinking now of Revelation 1, verse 5. The middle part of the verse. I'd love to hear your Bibles turning. Maybe the Lord will just have us to stop here. Revelation 1, verse 5. To Him who loved us. To Him who loves us. Read it again. To Him who loves us. To Him who loves us. And has freed us from our sins. Who's rescued us from condemnation by His blood. And He's made us a kingdom, priest unto God the Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To Him be glory and dominion. On Monday morning when you get up and your day perhaps is melancholy, you can remind yourself, God loves me. But you know why He loves you? Listen. He loves you because He loved you. He loves you because one day on the cross He loved you to the bearing of your sin, that you may be His forever. Hallelujah for the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Eternal Father in heaven, we come to You. And we thank You that You have loved us to the giving of Your Son, that we might be Yours forever. If you are outside of grace, maybe you would just like to pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive my sins. Please be merciful to me and make me Yours. I feel as though I only have a little bit, a tiny bit, a scrap of faith. But I come to You and ask for mercy. Take me to Your Word and make me stronger in faith and more sure of it. And Father, all of us here, we bind our hearts together and we say, glory be to God for the gospel. Amen.